Amen. It's good for us to think that way, isn't it? He went for the whole world, but he went just for me. Amen. I believe he had me on your mind, on his mind when he was on the cross, and I believe that each one of us, we take solace in that, that we think about our Savior, and he had me on his mind when he was on Calvary. Amen. Amen. Romans, take your Bibles and go to the book of Romans tonight. I'm thankful for all that's been done. Let me say thank you to the college and those that are my staff there at the college, and just the hard work that was done for the Fall Festival. So many things going into it. College students that prepared so many things ahead of time. What a blessing it was to not only our church, but to those that were able to attend it, and that are not members here or don't even attend on Sunday. A lot of our folks in just the town, we said last Wednesday, we passed out about 500 flyers, and I think about half of those folks showed up. The place was packed on Friday night. What a blessing it was. And don't know how many people got a clear witness, but we know that one bowed their head and trusted Christ out there at the Salvation Station. So we had a lot of good time and a lot of things, a lot of fellowship go on, but it was worth just the one soul to have it. Amen. So what a blessing. And again, another great Sunday and somebody getting saved in the building. And I was told I met a man out on the field. I don't know if it was his first time, but I was introduced to him today, and he rode the bus in from Poinciana. He's 95 years old. Amen. And so not sure if he's saved or not, but I know he got a clear presentation of the gospel this morning. Amen. Romans chapter number 12, and I want to preach tonight on the subject, discerning the will of God. Discerning the will of God. I'll make this statement. This is something that my pastor taught me. And so the best commentary on the Word of God is the Word of God. Oftentimes we seek to all kinds of men and all kinds of other, but how about the best place to look for what God is saying in one passage is to look what God said in another passage. To see where God crosses over himself and he's going to repeat himself over and over again throughout the Scripture. And that's how you build doctrine. A lot of guys that get off on a tangent or get off the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ or truth, they take a verse and they build a doctrine off of one verse in the Scripture. And that is not what we're supposed to do. Now, according to the Bible, is that the Scripture is of no private interpretation. And so here in the Scripture, as we look at Romans, we'll lay a foundation for the will of God. The will of God is something that to many people, sometimes it is something that we feel like is elusive. I love the way Brother Howells put it. The will of God is doing what you know to do and doing it till its fullest right where you are. Most of the time, people miss the will of God, or they sit down and look and the will of God is passing them by because they are unwilling to practice the will of God that they already have in front of them. Many folks are looking for something down the road when God wants them to be a soul winner right where they are, where God wants them to be locked in and given everything right where they are. And that is when God will call, separate, and send them out. And oftentimes we miss it because we're too busy looking instead of putting our head down and plowing right where we are. According to the Scripture here, in chapter 12, most of you have heard these verses. These are not brand new, but we will lay a foundation tonight for the message and just read a couple of scripture. We're going to use our Bibles tonight. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now let me just lay some foundational statements here, and we will turn to another passage and move rapidly to a place where we will try to give the message of discerning the will of God. But here there's some foundational things that are true about seeking the will of God. First and foremost, you must be a living sacrifice. That means that your will is no longer on the table. What you want and what you are seeking is no longer on the table. You are focusing your entire life and laying down who you are and what you want to the will of God. You have become a living sacrifice. The lamb did not want to go to the altar. It did not want to shed its blood. It did not want to die as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the flesh has never wanted to do it either. The flesh does not want to die to self. The flesh does not want to give its all and give its glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when a living sacrifice lives out its life the way it ought to, you will not receive the glory. Just like the lamb never received the glory, you will give your life in the service of the King, and he will get the glory when you serve him in his will. Amen and amen. Amen. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 is simply dealing with submitting ourselves as a living sacrifice. That is a lot easier said than done. It is not a one day, I did that, preacher, what do I do next? Tomorrow when you wake up, do it again. And tomorrow after that, when you wake up, do it again. Because often and too often, with the flesh will rise up and pride will well up in it, and you're no longer solely, wholly sold out to God. It's, well, God, I got 1 foot in and 1 foot out. I'm willing to go, but I got to stay here. I'm just telling you, folks, this is just the simple truth of it. And it is, and for us, sometimes when we build up or we move into a place in our lives, it gets when what God really wants to do and pick us up out of our comfort zone and put us where he wants us, we think that. Because why does God finish up? Because his word is perfect. He says, which is your reasonable service? Amen. It's reasonable. When God calls and God moves and God points, you say, well, that's going to take me away from my family. That's a reasonable service. That's going to be uncomfortable for me. I don't know if they can pay me enough to be there. That's your reasonable service. God still can bless. God can open the windows in heaven and take care of you. God may even move you somewhere where you need to get a job. Amen? Reasonable service. Verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world. Now, I want you to just get the contrast here and understand, and I'm not going to preach this in its entirety, but understand one verse. He just said, you need to be willing to be a living sacrifice. I mean, give yourself wholly to do whatever God wants. And then the contrast to that is, be not conformed to this world. Now, the lamb that was presented was then inspected for any spot. If there was a spot, it was rejected. Folks, we have to be willing to be the lamb, and then we've got to not be conformed to this world. That means we have to keep ourselves unspotted by the world. We have to every day make a choice to be back on the altar and to separate from the world. To be back on the altar and to be separated from the world. The church of our day, often, too often, we've made this analogy before. Rashad, come here. The Christian of today and the Christian of days gone by should look the same. If Rashad is the world, because I don't want to be the world, all right? If he's the world, and when Jesus wrote the scripture, the world was there and the Christian was here, you go over there, Rashad. So should there be more distance, or should the church keep an arm length? Should the Christian, is this being unspotted by the world? Now I'm standing where the world used to stand.
Right. Amen.
I'm living where the world used to live. Just because the world got emptied out of any amount of morals. Thank you, Rashad. You may be seated. If I am a Christian, I am supposed to stay where God planted me. I'm supposed to live separated, holy, not what the world thinks is holy,
right.
Not what the world thinks is acceptable,
right.
Not what somebody else preached is acceptable, but what the Word of God says is holy, separated, and unspotted by the world.
Amen,
amen and amen.
Amen.
He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you know what happens to the Christian that will stay in the Word of God? It will change your mind. it will not just conform it to fit in the box. That's what everybody else says. They think, the world says, think outside the box. All right? The Word of God, you think inside the book. The world will get you to think in their box and get you in there, and they want you to jump out of your box. You've heard what's preached, but when you get in the good Word of God and God begins to take the doctrine that you have heard preached and you have heard sung in good songs, and you start to balance that with the doctrine that is in the Word of God, all of a sudden I become transformed. I'm not the same as I used to be. My mind isn't the same. I don't think the same way as I used to think. I don't think about that. There's sometimes in our lives and in our mind, if we cannot discern the will of God, because, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, we got stinking thinking.
Yeah, right.
2 + 2 = 4, and we understand that, but when God gets in it and God wants to transform our mind, he'll make us understand why we're adding things up to start with. He'll help us understand why we're doing the process. You know, good mathematicians don't just know how to get the answer. They know how they got there.
Amen.
They don't come up with the answer by accident. That's why your math teacher wants you to show the work. Too many times, good fundamentalists can talk a good game and walk a good game, but they can't show you the work on paper, how they got there. They can't tell you how to put A, B, and C together. And why in the world should letters even be in math?
Amen.
Amen. But they are. Amen. This is getting to feel like it's too much of a math class for me. But amen. At least Brother Weeby's enjoying it. Amen. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 13. I want you to see a picture of someone who, not only two men, we're pushing towards missions month, and so if we're going to discern the will of God, let's see what happens here. We've got somebody, this isn't their first rodeo. These guys have served in several places. They've separated themselves unto God, and we find ourselves in Acts chapter 13 with Barnabas and Saul and many others in the church, but Barnabas and Saul are going to be separated out and sent out of the good church at Antioch, a working church, a doctrinally right church, a church that loved the Lord, that could use these men and have been using them, but they get sent out, not because the church decided to, but because the Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul." Look at it with me here. He says in verse 2, again, all the first verse is all talking about all these different teachers and men. It includes Barnabas and Saul. In verse 2, "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they were being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus." So we see in the scripture a great picture of a church, and a lot of times in our day and age, we do ordain men for the ministry. There's nothing wrong with that. That is scriptural. It's the way we're supposed to do it in the Pauline epistles. We're talked about that. It's something that we do, but that is supposed to be the church ordaining or laying hands and saying it is evident that these men have been called by God. Not called by mama, not called by their Bible college, not called by their local church, but called by Almighty God. And he put his finger on them and said, "Separate unto me and come out. I've got a work for you to do over here." When we're talking missions, these guys are getting sent out in missions, and they are going to go to the Gentiles. They are going to preach. Even for most of you, I don't know if you've gone through the book of Acts enough, but you watch the transition. Barnabas is the man that leads this mission. Everybody thinks Paul always was the leader. That is not so. When they were sent out, God called Barnabas and Saul. And along the way, you can see that the one that constantly gets stoned is the one that has the biggest mouth, and it is Paul. Barnabas is the one. Even when they step out, the one that gets the higher title as far as being Zeus is Barnabas, not Paul. And so when you see that there is a clear transition of leadership when Paul comes of age and God allows him to step up and be the man, and then this group separates. And I'm not sure that that was necessarily the will of God, but God continued to use both men because he separated them. Way too many times people go to other churches and serve somewhere else because God called them and sent them, but they got upset with another brother and they couldn't go to the church that God wanted them in. They couldn't serve where God really wanted them because they had a problem with another brother down there. When they should have just gotten over themselves and swallowed their stinking pride and got right with God. Too many times we get too puffed up so we can't get right with somebody else in the church, so we get out. Come on. Turn with me, if you would, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm heading somewhere, I promise. Ephesians chapter 5, discerning the will of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 14, he says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Too many times in this life, we are caught in a place where we are unwise because we cannot discern the will of God because we're looking for something past where God wants us working today. Too many times we'll look down the road at what God wants to do with us. Think about Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. He was not a mighty man of valor when he was hiding behind the threshing and threshing out wheat and hiding from the Midianites. But God wanted to make him that man, but he didn't go from there to the battle. There was a process that God led him through, and that was following God step by step through his will to finally being where everyone else knew what God was true of him all the time. Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, too many times we try to jump from point A to point B when God has a space to travel through. Too many times, this is what happens. We wake up and we think God's going to put us on a pedestal in front of everyone and at a place that we ought to be, when oftentimes God wants to use us right where we are. When there's somebody across the street that needs the gospel and we won't go tell them because we're looking at some other place. We're looking at some other place where God is going. God's going to use me over there, not until he uses you here. God's going to use me over there, not until you get in the trenches and work here. Right. You say, well, I'm working here. When was the last time you won somebody to Christ? Yeah. When was the last time you went out of your way? Not when somebody gave you a card, not when somebody gave you the door to knock on, not when somebody gave you a Sunday school class, but you went and dug it out and found a place to preach. When you went, I'm talking to the preacher boys now, all right? How about the last time that you went out of your way to make sure your pocket was full of tracks and you went up to somebody and used the track as a good intro to get in and say, hey, I want, listen, I'm talking to you teenagers. God's going to use me someday. God wants to use you right now. You don't get in on God's will someday. God's will is today. He could have used you today on your bus route. He could have used you today in your Sunday school class. He could have used you today in your junior church class if you'd let him. If you had gotten away and gotten alone with God, you say, well, I'm just a teenager. Hey, how about begging God, God, give me a soul today. There are going to be all kinds of lost teenagers on my bus. There are going to be all kinds of lost teenagers in my Sunday school class. God, use me to be a witness. God, let me have the opportunity to open the scripture. I know that the teacher's going to be there, but you, use me, God. Use me today. Hey, folks, when did we stop trying to redeem the time, realizing there are lost people everywhere? Every opportunity that God could put in front of me, I want to step through. That is what walking circumspectly means here. The word circumspectly, cautious, prudent, watchful on all sides, examining carefully all the circumstances that may affect a determination. Too many times we try to apply circumspectly to down the road. I'm cautious before I make a move. This is talking about your walk. Before I take the next step, I have to be circumspect. When I take a step this way, I'm looking for, does this person need the gospel? Are they on their way to hell? Every preacher that I've ever heard that really had a burden for people, I'm talking God used them in their city. They talk about driving through the town and seeing the people on the streets and going, I wonder if they're on their way to hell. They walk the streets at night burdened for their people. They walk the street burdened at night. They can't go up to the Circle K without walking up to somebody and saying, hey, are you on your way to heaven or are you on your way to hell? How about Harold B. Seitler walking out on the street? Does anybody want to get saved? That's a way to be a soul winner, isn't it? I'm not even going to knock the doors on the town. I'm just going to scream out to everybody in the apartments. And if they want it, they'll come down and get it. You say, that's crazy. That's circumspectly. I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, and I want to have a clear conscience that I gave the gospel to everyone under the sound of my voice. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, what is God's will? Let's start doing God's will right where we are. Let's redeem the time because the days are evil. Don't think about what I'm going to do tomorrow. What are you going to do today for the Lord Jesus Christ? There have been men and women that have determined that they would not rest. Some, I'm not going to bed tonight until I give somebody a gospel tract. I'm not going to bed tonight till I give somebody the gospel. I'm not going to be, you say, well, it's not like that, is it? Well, if we're going to redeem the time, it's going to have to get like that. He say, well, that's for the preacher. What? That's for the Christian. Amen. Including the preacher. Yeah. Hey, folks, I'm just begging you, if you really want to know what the Lord's will is, we're going to have to get to the place where we walk circumspectly. He says, not as fools, but as wise. That means there's two different circumspectly walks. That means the fool walks circumspectly in one way and the wise walk a different way. That means I can be looking all around me and looking like I'm walking circumspectly, but the things I'm looking for are worldly things. The things I'm looking out for are things that look out for me instead of looking out for the things that are after the Lord Jesus Christ, for the cause of Christ. He says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If God's will is important to us and we are going to walk circumspectly as wise men, then the will of the Lord has to be in every thought while we walk circumspectly. Too many times we make circumspectly cautious, prudent, watchful on all sides. We make that all about financial decisions. We make that all about protection. And I'm all for the Second Amendment. Walk circumspectly with Smith and Wesson, looking for the will of the Lord. And if somebody's outside of the will of the Lord, you know, amen, protect yourself. We do live in a crazy world because it says the days are evil. But at the same time, I still need to be looking for what God wants me to look for. I need to be seeing the things that God wants me to see. I need to be in tune with the Spirit of God. And when He says, witness to that one. When He says, that's the guy. Because that's what I've been praying for all day long. God, give me the one that you want me to win. God, put someone in front of me. Do you know, oftentimes when I think about Spurgeon was very Calvinistic, if you don't know that already. All right? Calvin, very Calvinistic. What does Calvinistic mean? He believes the Lord's going to bring, you know, some people here, some people there. They're going to get saved whether I preach to them or not. But he would think that certain people are elected to be saved and certain people weren't. That's Calvinism. All right? We don't believe that way. Amen. All right? But Spurgeon was very proactive in his Calvinism. He said, but I don't know who those people are, so I'm going to preach to everybody. Amen. So that I hit every one of them, so it ain't going to do the ones that ain't going to get it any worse. They're going to still be better for it, amen? And so you say, well, what do you mean? I'm just saying we need to be out there witnessing to everybody. We ought to be in tune. There are some people that have got their phone to their ear, and what they desperately need is to put it down and hear the gospel. And when God says, talk to that one, don't be scared to death to stop somebody in their conversation. Say, excuse me, I got something important to tell you. Because the Holy Spirit prompted me. Hey, don't be scared to be looked at like you're crazy. The world already thinks we're crazy. Amen. Amen. Hey, folks, I'm just here to tell you, we got to come to a place where we understand it. Turn your Bibles with me quickly to Psalms 37. Psalms 37, and we must hasten tonight. Discerning the will of the Lord. Now, here's where your points are going to come from. We're going to do them quick. Too often times, the book begins with the word, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And even in the context of Ephesians chapter 5, I think we ought to realize that he says redeeming the time for the days are evil. Realize that there's always going to be opposition to the will of God. There will always be those that will try to stop. The devil does not want people to get saved. And as much as the Holy Spirit will direct you to win the lost, there is an anti-Christ spirit in the world today that will send his minions to try to interrupt what you're trying to do for God. And we must realize that we have got to stay the course. We can't fret ourselves over evildoers. They're going to do their thing. But don't let it stop it. Don't let it stop you from what you ought to do. He says in verse number 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He goes on here and says, trust in the Lord. I want to submit to you, if we're going to discern the will of the Lord, the first thing you've got to do, the same thing we could talk about with Romans chapter 12 and becoming a living sacrifice, we have got to trust God as a sacrificial lamb and trust him that he knows best and that he has our best interest at heart while we were doing his will, and just trust him and give ourselves wholly to him. True trust means that he is in control. True faith means that he is at the helm and he is guiding the ship wherever he wants. And if it is into the storm, he is the wise, almighty God. And if that is where the storm is and that is where he chooses to take me, then that's where we're going, because that is the will of God. Sometimes we think if we're not sailing to clear skies and a beautiful paradise island, that we are not in the will of God. And that is baloney. Amen. If you don't understand what that is, you can say German baloney. Okay? That tastes better anyway. Anyway, so trust in the Lord and do good. Number 4, verse 4, he says, number 2, delight thyself also in the Lord. There is a difference between trusting in him and delighting in him. Do you realize when we serve the Lord, we put him on a pedestal and make him Lord of our life? There's a difference in coming to him in faith. And then there's a difference between just delighting to serve him. I mean that means waiting on him hand and foot. That means I'm looking for every opportunity. If I find out that somebody that I'm serving, I find out they like that, then I can find it, I want to give it to them. Hey, I'm just wanting to serve God. If I find out something else, well, God wants me to pray, I'm going to pray. God wants me to read his word, I'm going to read his word. God wants me to go soul winning, I'm going to go soul winning. God wants me to be at church every time the doors are open, I'm going to be at church every time the doors are open. Not when it's convenient, not when I feel like it, but I am going to delight myself in the Lord. This is his work in his way. This is his life, because I'm a living sacrifice, trusting in the Lord and delighting myself in him. Too often times we kind of look at it, and I've said it before and you guys heard it before, but we come into church and we wonder what it's going to be like, rather than determining I'm going to be delighted with what comes from God's word tonight. Instead of, I hope he can bring a good one. I hope he can hit home. I hope he can get somewhere where it'll help me. Or how about the other person? They come to church and they just try to pick out somebody in the church that needed that one, because they don't really need anything. That was a good one for them. That was a good one for the left side of the church. Woo! You see those people to sit over there? That's a good one for the right side of the church. Preacher got their toes tonight. No, delight thyself in the Lord. You say, why do preacher used to talk about using the altar, coming to the altar. We come to the altar because the altar alters us. Because we delight in the Lord, and when God reveals something in our lives, we get it taken care of. We come and see him. He said, he shall give thee desires of thy heart. Verse 5, number 3, commit thy way unto the Lord. That word committal, do you know what that word commit? It means there ain't no turning back. I've trusted in him. I've delighted in him. And now my life is tied up in him. I am committed. It's past the point of no return. There's no turning back. There ain't no quitting. There ain't no falling off. There's no being a Demas in the work of God. I'm going to press on for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse number 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and judgment as the noonday. I see wisdom in verse number 6. When I have come to the place where I trust in God with everything, and I delight myself in him, and I commit to him. I mean, commit it all. He knows that I have committed. I'm not half in, I'm not half out. He believes like Job. He could say to Satan, that's my man. See what you can do with him. When we've committed to God and we've given it to him, I'm just here to tell you, there comes now that I've delighted myself in his word and prayer and all these things. Now God can say, man, he's going to bring, he says, he shall bring forth the righteousness as a light. There's no light in me. The only light that can come out of me or you is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The only righteousness that could come out of me is a reflection of the righteousness that I found on the pages of this book and tried to live out in my own life. And then judgment, weighing things out, having discernment, wisdom coming from the man of God because God gives it to him, or the woman of God. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices. Too often times, people miss the will of God because instead of trusting God, delighting in him, and committing their way right where they are, they never have any rest. They're running to and fro looking for God's will, and they'll never find it. There's something about being able to trust in God, settle in and delight yourself in him. I mean, just falling in love with God and then committing yourself to whatever he wants. And then resting in that. If God never moved me from this place, from this moment, I'm at rest with the Lord. Because this is God's will for my life. And it is at that moment that you'll have a Barnabas and Saul confrontation. When you come to that place, and God will say, separate unto me, Barnabas and Saul. Too often, we take the call of God on our lives to preach, to teach, like that is a place. Those are things we do every day, wherever we are, in the will of God. Look at what he says. Look down in the scripture with me. I want to go on down to 23 and we'll be done. The greatest thing about it, he said, well, preacher, I'm just going to start this journey. How in the world do I? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Look at verse 26. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Too often times, you know, we back there in verse 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 12, the Bible says that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. There are people that preach that those are three different wills of God for your life. God is not, okay, God is not someone that is going to try to trick you into getting one of those three things. Like door number one, no, God's will is good. It's always good. God's will is always acceptable for the Christian that will trust him and delight in him and commit his way to him. And God is, listen, his will is always perfect. It may not be what you think you wanted, but when you get there, you'll realize God knew where I belonged all along. God knew better than I did. this is where I belong. God put me there. Folks, tonight, I desperately, looking across the crowd of people that are here, I desperately want not only for you to find the will of God in your life, and that is doing the will of God right where you are, but I desperately want you to delight yourself in the Lord and commit your way to Him. God will bless this place if God's people decide that God's will is for me. Not for just the preacher, not for just the staff, but God's will is for every person in this building. And He has got a perfect will for you. And I want you to be able to step out and walk through those steps of things. You say, well, they're awful vague, preacher. No. Reading your Bible, praying, delighting yourself in the Lord, committing your way unto Him and letting Him reveal what He wants, being a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are very specific things that you can do on a daily basis. And you will be surprised when you start to put them in practice in your life, how God will begin to speak to you and direct you in His will. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, let me remind you, the last verse we read is, He is ever merciful. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, don't leave here lost. Jesus came from heaven and died on Calvary and paid for your sin and paid for my sin and rose again on the third day. If you'll simply put your faith and trust in Him, you will find out just how merciful God is to the sinner. He'll give you grace. Amazing grace, if you'll trust in Him tonight. Will you stand to your feet tonight? If God spoke to your heart, why don't you step out and come? The invitation is for those that God spoke to, especially if you need to go to heaven tonight and don't know how to get there. Why don't you step out as Brother Burt sings?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now.
Bow your heads with me. Some have come. I've had some come make a decision. Maybe you're here tonight and you've not joined this good church and you want to join up with the Landmark Baptist Church. You either need to come by statement from another church of like faith and practice, or need to come by baptism, surrendering to baptism and the doctrine of this good church. We'd love to have you. If you've been attending for a long time and you know this is where you ought to be, we'll give you opportunity to step out. And if you're here and you're not saved, you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, we would love to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. As Brother Burt sings one more hymn.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. Well, what a blessing. Amen.